That was The Mother Goose Suite by Ravel, The Enchanted Garden. That closes it all. Fairy tale magic with the Rotterdam Philharmonic. Well, today we're heading to the Niagara region, where the Niagara Symphony Orchestra has just unveiled an ambitious new season that ranges from Mozart and Brahms and Beethoven, the classics, all the way to Phil Collins, Genesis, Tragically Hip, and some outstanding Canadian composers also in the mix. Joining us is music director Bradley Thatchuk, one of Canada's most versatile conductors. Welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, terrific. How are you enjoying the planning of this ambitious, amazing season up ahead?
We're coming off the back of an incredibly successful season. So whenever you have a successful season, it doesn't make things easier, it makes things harder.
You have a new bar, exactly.
How do you touch all those points that not only resonated with people, but how do you then go to the next level and build on that?
Well, one thing I notice is a strong Canadian presence. I see music by Kevin Lau, all composers we absolutely cherish on our show, John Astacio, and also Canadian artists like Angela Hewitt, Timothy Chui. Was that a conscious priority?
Yes, it has been a conscious priority. Like we have used artists from around the world, but what we found with our audience is that like a marquee American artist, it's not necessarily box office. And in our community, I think people appreciate Canadian artists and especially up-and-coming artists. Like we always take a lot of time to investigate who's coming up next. In fact, we're in the middle of establishing a new Canadian talent fund, which is going to not only feature artists with the orchestra, but we're going to find career support for young Canadian artists as well. And we should be unveiling that in a few months.
Great. That's always good. Nurture the next generation. Tell us a little bit about highlights of the season. What's first? I see a celebration of Broadway and song, September 13th at Partridge Hall, Broadway Brilliance meets Cinematic Magic.
That show right now Jay Dreff, who I've worked with quite a bit. He has a show that's about 50% of the program. And then we decided to partner him with Kelly Holla from Toronto. And I'm actually in the middle of writing arrangements for that concert because we felt like we wanted to go to the next level, just not the stock things that are available from various publishers, but to actually do things a little bit more contemporary, because there are songs like when we think about Broadway, it incorporates a lot now. Like there's the Celine Dion musical. So I'm in the middle of arranging a lot of Celine Dion music and Sarah Barry Ellis music and the music from Waitress, things that aren't so common with orchestras, and creating unique arrangements for the artists that will be here.
So how does that work in your world? Does conducting something like Genesis or the Tragically Hip make you think a little differently, maybe, when you then conduct Beethoven or Sibelius?
I separate the worlds.
Okay.
Because I was trained as a classical musician, and then about 10, 12 years ago, it turned out that I played well with rock musicians. Like, I could speak their language to them. And, you know, I work not only with lots of great classic rock artists, but I'm like the conductor for Chris Bodie, the jazz trumpeter. So I think being able to work quickly and find a shorthand with people who might not quote unquote speak orchestra, that's that part. And then when we get to the classical, that's where you know the fine detail work, the sophisticated musical conversations, the extra rehearsals come into place. And so I find that I approach the two things quite differently.
But it's electrifying when they come together. You have October 18th, the music of Phil Collins and Genesis, and you have a full symphony orchestra and the Gravel Museum Rock Band that can bring so many new people that would ordinarily not go to either.
Yes, that show is one that my twin brother and I, he's the band leader. He's a guitar player in Los Angeles. And that show is one that we've done many, many times. In fact, that one gets the most play. We were with Winnipeg Symphony this year, Fort Wayne Philharmonic in the States, and What makes our rock presentation so different, I think, is I've stood on stage for years doing these shows with a loud drummer burying the orchestra and you could never hear the arrangements. So what we did is we started with the orchestra as the fundamental texture and then built the band parts around it. And to prevent the problems that drum sets cause, we actually use Roland virtual drums. So the stage is completely silent. Our rock productions are very orchestra forward.
Gotcha. Yeah, that can make a difference. I was just talking with Anthony, our board tech, behind the scenes here. He's also a drummer. And we were just talking about how a drummer can power a whole subdivision. You know, you can hear the drummer from, you know, many, many houses away.
Yes.
So that's a great compromise.
Yeah. And, you know, it took some convincing with Jimmy, the drummer, to get him into it. But that's all good. And when you even look at some of our classical programming, like in November, we're doing this concert that is the marquee work is Mendelssohn Symphony No. 5 and Luis Ferenc Overture. But in the first half, we're doing a piece by a young composer named Dai Wei. And this piece I saw premiered at Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. And she's coming in, the composer comes in, and she's also got a kind of pop vocal style. So the piece goes from avant-garde to very kind of sentimental pop, and she also triggers electronics in it as well. So The piece just is kind of, it's multimedia and it's kind of multi-style. And when I look for classical works, I look for new works that try to stretch what the palette of a symphony orchestra audience should be listening to.
Fascinating. That's November 22nd. You have a holiday show in December. And then we fast forward to some bold beginnings. You have Angela Hewitt for some Wiener classic, Beethoven and Brahms, Piano Concerto No. 1 of Beethoven with the monumental Brahms Symphony No. 1. Great pairing, of course, and a terrific start to the new year.
Yes, that's a very kind of traditional pairing. Originally, this one was going to be Angela Hewitt, and I had on the docket one of my party pieces, the Hans Rott Symphony No. 1, which is Hans Rott. It was going to be a bold beginning, too, because, you know, he was a roommate of Mahler and things like that. But I just was made aware by Breitkopf that there's going to be a brand new performing edition coming out next year. We put off the Rott Symphony for a year, and then, like, for me, typical programming, kind of cliched programming, I don't normally do. But as I sat with it, the Brahms Piano Concerto 1 and Brahms Symphony 1, I was like, I would go to that concert, so why not?
It's a perfect pairing. Yeah. All right. I see some Sinatra. Well, let's jump to the grand finale here. Very, very exciting as well. Speaking of traditional masterworks, I'm very intrigued. The Sibelius Violin Concerto with the 7th Symphony and also Britten 4C Interludes. Spectacular way to end the season.
Yeah, this is typical of some of the more adventurous programs that we do at the NSO that the audience has responded to. Like, I always look for an undercurrent, and there's this kind of vastness, and there's something like, and sometimes it's intangible for me too. The Keiko DeVoe work, which is about water, and the Britten 4C interludes. There's this kind of powerful undercurrent in this entire program, and it's kind of connected through this sense of masses of water, and in contrast, the kind of starkness of Sibelius. Like, Sibelius 7 is hard to program because it's 22 minutes long. So what do you put with it? How does it feature you? It's almost overture length, but you can't open a concert. So finding a way to incorporate it, and, you know, getting Timothy Chui in. This program, for me, when I look at it as just as an interpreter, that's probably the one I'm most looking forward to, because the concentration and the rehearsal process for a program that is also that, the Keiko DeVoe piece, is incredibly challenging.
Well, a truly spectacular orchestral finish there. That is June 13th, an afternoon show, afternoon of adventure, some atmosphere, no doubt some very interesting aquatic sound worlds. Well, thank you, Bradley. Appreciate you joining us here on the Jukebox. Good luck with your season up ahead and all the great adventures awaiting your audiences. I've been speaking with Bradley Thatchuk, the music director of the Niagara Symphony Orchestra. You can find out more details at niagarasymphony.com. All the details, the schedule, you can get your tickets there. Hope to see you there. Brad, thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.